Welcome to another eBizQ podcast.
Hello, my name's Phil Wainwright, Community Manager for Leveraging the Connected Web on eBizQ. I'm delighted to be here today with Dan Foody, VP of Product Management of Progress Software. Dan, good to have you on the line once again.
Phil, great to talk with you again as well.
Dan, we're talking today about the whole topic of managing SLA, service level agreement, in the cloud, which is something I've been writing and talking to various people about recently. What's your take on the state of the art with SLAs in the cloud arena at the moment?
Well, frankly, it's still very early stage. Most of the SLAs people are offering are really not SLAs that customers would think of as what they care about. So the availability of the overall system. As a customer, I don't really care whether the whole system is available. What I care is whether I can use the system or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, one of the challenges people have right now is SLAs are vendor-centric rather than customer-centric. That's the first thing that needs to be changed. It needs to be put into the face of the customer on an individual customer-by-customer basis.
Well, Dan, I think perhaps it's fairer to say that it's technology-centric rather than business-centric or process-centric.
Yeah, or you could even say inwards-focused versus outwards-focused is another way to think about it.
Because the people who've been negotiating SLAs have been the technologists or the IT buyers, haven't they?
They have been, and it's almost like there have been two extremes of thought. There's the people who have, you know, one SLA for everyone, so this is the SLA, take it or not, and then there's the other extreme, which is every individual customer gets a unique and custom SLA.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of those are very effective business models, frankly. People need to get to middle ground between that.
Well, and of course, the cloud, you can't really be a cloud provider if you've got to actually handcraft SLAs for everybody. But at the same time, the kind of one-size-fits-all model is not satisfactory either in business or enterprise market. And therefore, there needs to be some way of letting people configure an SLA to suit their individual need, but have some kind of automation within it, don't you?
Yeah, either you need to have, you know, a Chinese menu of options where you can pick what different parts of the SLA matter to you, or at least a set of predefined SLAs that you can choose from.
Yeah, I think that part of the conversation that I've been having is that, well, that's fine if you know what you are going to want and if it's never going to change. But, of course, the cloud is an on-demand environment, and shouldn't there be the potential for the SLA to be on-demand, i.e. that people should have the ability to be able to have different SLAs at different times of year or different times of day or for different parts of the application stack?
Me, absolutely. I think the best way to think about it is, just like you may price per user, you should price per SLA as well. So if someone wants a higher level SLA, you should allow them to switch it on immediately, but it isn't necessarily going to be free. That may be an added option depending on what level of SLA they want at that point in time.
Yeah. And do you think there is the potential for people to be able to have SLAs that vary in a cyclical way or in response to demand?
Well, I think the way to think of it is almost in reverse, which is that the SLA should be what level you want someone needs. The demand should trigger how you behave being different. But the SLA, as a customer of a service, I don't really care what the demand level is. I still want 3-second response time, for example. So the SLA should be a driver.
I think, in a sense, it's because we all, and I've just been guilty of this, we use the term very loosely. And when we talk about the SLA, we don't actually mean the SLA. We talk about the policy framework within which we want to consume the services. And so I suppose what I'm arguing for is having a service level agreement that has got a number of different options in it that can be switched according to certain policies coming into effect. For someone who's got an e-commerce site, for example, if it's December, then you actually want more capacity and more availability than perhaps you're going to ask for in March.
Yeah, I mean, you can think of an SLA as a give and take. So which is, if I'm going to have 10,000 versus 10 million requests hitting every day, what level of responsiveness are we going to get out of that? So there's the trade-offs in terms of how much load are you going to put on it versus what guarantees do you want. And the more, you know, more load, either the lower guarantees you get or the higher cost it'll be to provide those higher guarantees typically.
Right, yes. And those are the sorts of decisions that people might have different answers to at different times of the year or different times of the day or different applications.
Yeah, and I think where it really gets interesting, though, is when you go beyond the granularity of every transaction is the same. So as an e-commerce vendor, not all of my customers have the same value to them. Some make $1 million orders, others make $1 orders. If I'm an e-commerce vendor and I'm leveraging a SaaS or PaaS platform, I actually may want to have on a transaction-by-transaction basis different service levels for those, because to me they have different value, those individual transactions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And of course the other factor here is whether there's some kind of arbitrage that you can do as a consumer of services to perhaps be able to bring in external services at certain times or for certain functions, again, governed by some kind of policy framework or SLA definition.
Yeah, absolutely. It may be that you say, if I can get the service for less than $10 a CPU minute or 10, whatever your price metric is, then I'm going to put load on it. Or I may switch between different providers if they've got extra capacity and are offering a special at that point in time. So the more dynamic you can get, the more you can take advantage of arbitrage opportunities. And fundamentally, that's about optimizing your own costs.
So, but there's a cost also in having all of that instrumentation and having the automation that will then implement those policies on the fly. Does the technology exist to all this theory we've just been talking about? Is the technology there today that can actually make it happen at a reasonable cost?
So there are technologies, there are definitely technologies that let you do it. I wouldn't say there's a cohesive technology to solve all the problems in one, but there are technologies that let you look at and manage your SLAs on a consumer-by-consumer basis, and if you're getting close to your SLAs, trigger automated activities like adding more capacity. Those kind of technologies exist. On the other extreme, if you look at the, I want to move my computing from one location to another, there's technologies to help with that. Things like caching infrastructures and grid infrastructures help you with that. What people haven't done today yet is really connect those two together seamlessly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's still a work in progress, but a lot of potential there that people can tap that perhaps hasn't been explored as fully as might be at the moment.
Absolutely. And I think there's, at this point in time, there's almost a strategic advantage someone can gain by taking advantage of SLAs. You know, as with any technology in its infancy, when the pieces are there but they're not integrated, the first mover who can bring those pieces together for their own customers can actually get an advantage over their competitors. So there is an opportunity for a lot of organizations to take a lead in here.
Well, that's an interesting note to finish on. So thank you very much. I'm Phil Wainwright. I've been chatting with Dan Foody, VP of Product Management at Progress Software. Dan, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Phil.
This has been an eBizQ podcast.